Good morning, everyone. We are called by God to worship him. The psalmist says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. We join together to praise our God this day using those words of Psalm 96, and we're going to sing it from Sing Psalms to a tune that you will be very familiar with. Let's join together and sing Psalm 96.
Oh, sing a new song to the Lord. Sing praises to his name.
We're going to join together in prayer, and as we do so, let us just stand together as has become our practice. Let us pray. Lord God, our God, we come this day as people called by you to worship you, the living God. We come together after 2 weeks apart, We sing to you, the Lord of all the earth. We praise your name. We tell of your salvation and we declare your glory, for marvelous are your works. Great and greatly are you to be praised. Lord, at this time, we pray that you may fill our minds with wonder as we come before you, the living God, the one who has been at work from the very beginning, working out your great plan of salvation that would come in a way that would confound the expectations of men, as your only begotten Son, who was there in the beginning, who was God and is God, came into the world through the incarnation. It was necessary that he came because we know that by our nature we are altogether sinful. And our experiences of this life make us just how aware of how fallen we are, how we do not do what we ought, even when we desire to do so. We thank you for the incarnation, that your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, became man so that he might die in our place, making an atonement for sins, that we might be reconciled to you and come as your children this day, not as strangers, not as enemies, but children, your children through faith, not in what we have done, but what he has done for us. And as we come to your word, we ask that you may work in us by your word and spirit, that you may reorientate our lives, that we may be able to live more and more for you, that we may be filled with a hope that is not in the present or in the months to come, but a hope that is ultimately in Christ. And as we look to the prophecy of Micah that you have given your people, help us to know more of you and how you are sovereignly working in the midst of this life, even when we cannot see it. Help us to be filled with awe and wonder at all you are doing right in this present and in all eternity past and future. We pray this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to join together to read two portions of Scripture, the first being from Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5, this is the passage that we'll be focusing on, one of the minor prophets. We're going to read from chapter 5 from verse 2 to 5. It's a passage that we'll know well, and as always, I'd encourage you to turn to it and follow along. And then we're going to read from John's Gospel, John chapter 10. Micah chapter 5 speaks of how the coming Messiah will shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. And John chapter 10 tells us of the good shepherd who shepherds his flock. Micah chapter 5, we're going to read from verse 2 to 5a. Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5, reading from verse 2 to 5a. This is God's word. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to us. And then over to John chapter 10. We're going to read from verse 11 to 18. John chapter 10, we're going to read from verse 11 to 18. This is a passage where Jesus previously said that he is the gate of the sheep, but now he tells us that he is the good shepherd. He is both the gate and the shepherd. John chapter 10, reading from verse 11 to 18. This is God's word. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, not only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down it of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to us. Micah chapter 5. I wonder as we begin how you're feeling today. Hopefully, for those of you who are here and gathered, that you'll be, in a sense, glad to be back. I know I am. I'm glad to be able to look down and see faces look back at me. It's been a strange 2 weeks to go back to it. But likely, for all of us, there's a million and one different thoughts that are going through our heads at this time. It's not only thinking about the roast that's in the oven today, if that's for you, but it's probably of what the future will bring. What's going to come in the coming weeks, what the months that lie ahead will bring as we hear news of a vaccine and as we're uncertain of what the future holds. And Robin Swan is telling us to have some sense over the next 2 weeks. You know, all of us have been left a little bit worse for wear after 2020, haven't we? We're afraid to get our hopes up. We're afraid as we look to the future, not knowing what the future brings. But today we look to this prophecy of Micah from Micah chapter 5. As the Lord God gives his people hope. Hope of what would lie ahead in the future of his people. A hope that would help them to look beyond their present. To look to the Messiah. How he was fulfilling the promise of Genesis chapter 3 through the incarnation. But as we look at this promise today, we have to remember that this promise has been fulfilled. We come in the knowledge that Christ has come this day. This is not some future hope, but it is our present reality. But we also look to a future hope of how he will return once more. And when he does, as we thought about last week, we can have confidence as we come as the children of God, that whenever he appears, that we will be like him. That through faith we will be conformed finally and fully into the image of Jesus Christ our Lord. That is our hope this day. Not of a future fulfillment of this promise, but in a future fulfillment when he returns. But this prophecy comes in a time whenever the life of God's people was in absolute turmoil. It's a low point in the history of Israel. I think we would find it so hard to imagine because it's a pattern that's so common with God's people. God calls his people to be faithful, and God's people, well, they're faithless. And what had happened was that God's people had turned once more from him. They had worshipped false gods. They had let sin and the rot to come in, and they had faced moral decline. And now they were under the judgment of God. The reason why is because God's people, who were to be a light to the nations, had allowed them to be just like everybody else. They had allowed the poor to be oppressed. They had allowed their religious leaders and their priests to be sexually promiscuous. Justice was being bought and sold. The debauchery of the people was rampant. And the old covenant community, even though they were to be a light to the nations, had failed to do so. And in the midst of it, God comes and convicts his people that they had turned from God because of their problem. It's a problem that we all have. Don't we sin? They've forgotten what they're all about. And in the midst of this, God comes and he uses Micah. Micah to tell them of the coming judgment, but he also tells them that there will be hope in the midst of this judgment. Jerusalem would fall, they would face consequences because of their sin, but there is hope. Hope in what lay ahead. Hope in the midst of it. There is good news. He wants them to look past their present and their future circumstances to a hope of every nation. For in Bethlehem, a ruler would come. King Jesus would come in Bethlehem, as Micah prophesied about. God was revealing his purposes and plans for the future because he wanted his people to see past their present. But as we begin, I think it can all be hard for us to understand, to see past our present, can't it? We're so preoccupied with what 2020 has brought and what 2021 may possibly bring. And we're so focused on earthly hope, on what lies ahead in the coming weeks and months, that we fail to see the hope of what lies ahead. But it's a hope that we need to look to this day, a hope in the fulfillment of God's promises, because everything in this life will let us down. It will never satisfy us the way we desire. Only God can give us what we really need. As we come today, we're reminded of God's great plan of salvation. God's great plan of salvation. Look how Micah starts this prophecy. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah. You know, we've all heard of Bethlehem, haven't we? We all, if we got a map out, we'd be able to roughly point where it is. You know, we wouldn't have much trouble. If you stuck it in your phone and, you know, put it in your sat-nav and then came up with a destination, it would tell you that we could be there in a couple of days' time. If anybody fancies a road trip, I'm sure if we left after the service, we could make it by Wednesday morning sometime, although I'm not sure anybody would desire to be stuck in the car with me for 56 hours. But look how he introduces it. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Why this way? Why does Micah have to say you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah? Well, because in truth, Bethlehem was a place of little or no significance. It's a place that you could easily overlook. We all know it now only because of what happened. But for God's people, it was a place that was really a nowhere place. It was a place that had been significant in the history of God's people for only one reason. Well, for the fact that David came here. And it goes against all human wisdom, doesn't it? If we were bringing a king into the world, we would look for somewhere important. And in the day that Micah wrote this, the place of importance was Jerusalem, whereas in today we would probably pick a city like London or Dubai or Sydney or Washington, D.C. But God was choosing Bethlehem for a purpose. He was choosing the weak of this world to shame the strong. God was going to bypass Jerusalem totally, bypass the city that he knew or that he had chosen and loved, because he was going to work his purposes that would confound the expectations of his people. It would be a new start. For there would be a shoot that would come up from the stump of Jesse. A branch should grow from his roots. God was directing his hearers that although David's house failed, God's promises would remain and be fulfilled. People, as they heard these words, would have been filled with hope. God was going to do this. God was going to fulfill this. God was going to answer these promises, fulfilling them as he had given to David. God was going to bring about the restoration of his people. He was going to bring a new ruler, a ruler that we all know this day, Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the way that God reconciles people. He is the way that God rules and governs over all the nations. He is the promised deliverer of God's people that we are told about here. For God was coming in human form to be savior of the world. This is what God's people were to look forward to. We here today as we gather, we know the promises that were given. We know the hope that is celebrated at this time of year. We know that what the Lord Jesus Christ has come to do to reconcile God to man, this promised deliverer of God's people, ruling not over Israel, as it says here, but ruling over all. He came the pre-existing Son of God. What we need to do is to look beyond the hope that Micah looked to the hope of what lies ahead. A hope not of this present or of 6 weeks' time or 6 months' time, because all of us know that our hopes have been dashed so many times. Instead, we need to look to a greater hope that is in Jesus Christ. No matter what Andy Williams said or sung about, many of us know that this isn't the most wonderful time of the year, and we know that this life is far from how we would want it or desire it to be, because this world is a broken world. We need to direct our hope to want that what is so much greater, because this world will constantly remind us of the fallenness of it. In those everyday experiences of those disappointments we have, those struggles, those broken relationships, those conflicts that we have. And at this time of year, it's all the worse because of family stress and financial stress and that empty chair at the table. And those whom we know and love and we can't be together because of bubbles. All of this weighs heavily upon us. But yet God wants us not to be looking forward to what's happening in 12 days' time, to what's happened in the past. He wants us to look forward with hope of this ruler and how he will once more come again. Because this life will always leave us wanting more. It may seem like a distant hope to us, but it's not. Now, boys and girls, I want to talk to you. If you stick with me for a wee minute. Now, I think I know what you guys are all hoping for in about 12 days' time. Have you any ideas? What are you hoping for in 12 days' time? Yeah, what are you going to get? Yeah, you're going to have lots and lots of excitement and unwrapping and sweeties and goodies. Will you get sweeties? No, you'll not get sweeties. Well, maybe you'll get some pudding on Christmas Day. That's what we're looking forward to. That's what we've got excitement about, isn't it? But maybe for the parents, your mums and dads, and for your families, they're just looking for a full night's sleep at the minute. They're looking for a night in their own bed. Maybe they're looking for a night out together. We all have hopes of what the future will look like. All of us have hopes, don't we? Some that are big and some that are small. You guys are all hoping and looking forward to your presence and starting to get excited about all those things. But it may not seem like it, but those things will always leave us disappointed. Think of all the presents that we get and have got throughout our lives, which we thought were amazing at the time, and we've lost interest in. They'll never really satisfy because they're not really what we need. But did you know, boys and girls, that God has given us something far, far greater? Something far greater to look forward to than presents that will arrive in 12 days' time. Something even more exciting. Something even more important than a full night's sleep, parents, or a night out with each other, or spending time just by yourself to drink a full cup of coffee. And that is the knowledge of sins forgiven through Jesus Christ. This is a promise that God wanted his people to look forward to. He was telling his people this through Micah, that what we have that lies ahead is even better. And what we know now is that we look forward with hope to a time when there will be no more pain, no more sadness, no more suffering, no more sad times or cut knees or hurt feelings or all those things, because they'll be gone. And God wants his people in verse 3 to remember that hope. That even though that they'll be, Israel will be abandoned, it will not last forever. There is hope. Hope in the midst of it all, because God will answer his promises. It is through the faithful Lord Jesus Christ that is coming that will give hope. We in the present do not face what God's people faced in the Old Testament when God wrote these gave these promises. Instead, the Lord has promised us, each and every one of us here through faith, that he will not leave us or forsake us. We can have confidence in our present, whatever we face, that the Lord God will help us by the work of his word and spirit within us. He has set his seal upon our hearts. He has put our spirit, his spirit within us, so that we may become the children of God, that we may be filled with a hope of what lies ahead in the future. For what God was doing in Micah's day was directing his people to what lay ahead, the fulfillment of Christ, how there would be no wall of hostility anymore. And this one that will come in verse 4 will be a shepherd. A shepherd that we read of in John chapter 10. A shepherd who will shepherd the flock. Just as David was unflinching and courageous as he battled bears and as he battled lions and as he battled Goliath, the Lord Jesus Christ is a greater shepherd. King David was a man after God's own heart, but he failed miserably time and time again. He was only a man. Yet the one who would come here, the shepherd, is the perfect man, the true Adam. The one who would shepherd the flock in the strength of the Lord. See, it is God who is at work in all of history. He is the one who is calling a people to himself. He is far greater than any king or ruler this world has ever had or ever will have. And this ruler that the Lord God sends, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is promised here in this passage, will perfectly shepherd his flock, that we can live securely in whatever we face, knowing that our security is not in what we can do or have done, but in Christ Jesus. See, we have this hope this day, a hope that extends over all the earth, a hope that extends from here to the ends of the earth. If we know Jesus Christ this day, then we can have this confident hope of what lies ahead, of a shepherd who cares for us in the midst of all that we face, knowing that we have certainty of what lies ahead, that we can have confidence in the midst of temptation, that we can know him. And in the future that awaits, verse 5, he will be our peace. He is the one who gives us peace within, who reconciles us to God, who delivers us from our sin, who gives us a peace that is beyond our understanding, and a peace that will ultimately only be truly understood in what lies ahead, a peace that will be everlasting with our God and our Savior as we dwell with him in the new heaven and the new earth. See, Micah was pointing people forward. But if you have your Bibles, please do turn over to chapter 7, because Micah points to what God will do. Micah chapter 7, and we read in verse 18 of what God would do. Verse 18 we read, "Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities to the depths of the sea." You see, in the midst of it all, God was telling his people through Micah what he was going to do. Remove sins completely. We now know this through the promised Messiah and how he has come. Through faith in him, when we cry out to him for sins forgiven, he deals with them. For God has dealt with the greatest enemy of his people, not the Assyrians that God's people faced in Micah's day, not lobbies and battles that we face today or the persecuted church faces all over this world. He came to deal with the greatest enemy of his people, and that is sin. See, when we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be assured that that sin has been dealt with. And in whatever we face, we do not face what the people in Micah's day faced, but in whatever we face in the here and now, that God is working out his purposes. We can have confident assurance that in the midst of it all, that just like in Micah's day, God knew what lay ahead. knows what lies ahead in the coming weeks, the months. We're uncertain of what the future holds, but God knows all of it, past, present, and future. He's the God of all history, and the God who is working out his purposes so that we may have hope, hope of a better, hope of a new life with him. Let us pray, and as we do so, let us stand together. Heavenly Father, we have looked at this prophecy of hope that you gave your people in Micah's day, that they could have a sure and steadfast hope in the promised ruler, the promised shepherd, Messiah, who would come, as you would redeem them. For Father, you were ultimately at work in the midst of all that was taking place. You were dealing with the greatest enemy that your people faced, not only in Micah's day, but in every day, the enemy of sin and Satan. Heavenly Father, help us to know the confidence of that sin forgiven and dealt with this day through the hope of that great shepherd who comes and conquers the enemy, Satan, so that we may come confidently before you this day, knowing that our sins have been trodden underfoot and our iniquities hurled into the depths of the sea. Help us to know that in all we face, that your help is here. And also in that great final battle, we will stand victorious. That we will stand with our shepherd king who rules over all, who will give us abundant life, who will transform us into the image of himself, new perfected bodies. And when life looks uncertain in the midst of what's going on, help us to look to that, Lord. Help us to know that you are the God of history, past, present, and future. And as we face uncertainty with what lies ahead, as we don't know what to expect or hope for, help us to look to you, for you are ultimately in control of it all. And Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are struggling at this time. We pray for those who are struggling, and we know that that takes many different forms. So you're struggling with illness, both seen and unseen. Those who are dealing with broken relationships. Those who are struggling with financial pressures. Those who are struggling with loneliness and isolation. Those who are mourning the loss of the loved one and who are struggling as a result. Help us to be a people who love each other, so that those who struggle, that those who are dealing with many things may know that we care for each other and that there is hope. Hope through Jesus Christ, a great hope which goes beyond this life and age. Heavenly Father, help us to look to that hope in the coming days and weeks. Hope in Christ, knowing that there is a greater day, a greater hope that lies ahead. Father, we pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to join together now to sing God's praise, and it speaks of the fulfillment of the promise that was given in Micah's day. The fulfillment of that promise, which is, O little town of Bethlehem.
Town of Bethlehem, how still we see you lie. Above your deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go on.
Stand together for the benediction. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.